Welcome from TechEd Europe, Berlin, this year. I'm Christian Binder, and on my right-hand side I have Stephanie Sad.
Hello.
Hello. What are you doing here? This is the first question. Who you are and what are you doing here? They don't know.
Sure. I'm here to present at TechEd to talk about Team Foundation Server 2010, cool. And Visual Studio 2010, and I'm the group program manager for TFS.
Cool. What was your focus in the session? So you focused on what else?
Yeah, there's a couple different sessions. We had one session which talked about how Microsoft does development. We have really some of the largest development teams in the world. We use all of our own software internally. So we talked a lot about best practices, what's worked for us, and also what hasn't worked. We talked about project management support in Team Foundation Server 2010. Okay. And then finally, just questions that people had.
Cool. So project management was a hot topic, right?
Yeah, very hot topic in 2010. Mm-hmm. I was surprised at the number of people in the session.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I have been there, so a lot of good questions around that. Good. So we decided now to have a quick session about the main features we see, right?
Yeah.
So let's dive in.
Okay.
Stephanie, one thing we've seen is we have for agile teams a couple of new stuff.
Yeah.
So for agile planning, so agile teams tend not to use project to plan the tasks within
That's
the breakdown.
Right. They prefer
They prefer different ways for doing it, right?
Yep.
So what have we done here?
Well, it's just like you say, we found that agile teams, they don't like project. They like to use more informal tools. So in 2010, we provide full support for Scrum out of the box with product backlog planning and iteration backlog planning.
Okay.
So you can go through and plan out all of your user stories across sprints. And then when it comes time to do the individual sprint, you can plan all the work in the sprint, load balance work across the team, and basically just ensure that your sprint is set up for success.
Okay,
yeah.
This is cool. So would you, so let's have a look on it.
Okay.
I mean, it's a better way because it's more transparent, right?
Yeah.
So what we see here is we have an iteration backlog workbook.
Yeah.
So say some words about it, what it is, user stories, and how it works.
Sure. You can see on the left-hand side the common model with Scrum where you have user stories which are decomposed into tasks. And then you can see the same model here in TFS where you see the hierarchy of the user stories decomposed into tasks. And you're able to do this just in Excel, so it's similar to 2008, with the difference here that 2010 supports the hierarchy.
So Excel supports the hierarchy in addition.
That's correct,
Okay, user stories are work item types, is a work item type, and you break it down to tasks. So actually, and on the other hand, you have the work, remaining work, the planning.
Yep.
Oh, this is... The cool color coding, this is something we support now?
That's right.
Yeah.
So one of the things that's supported here is any kind of conditional formatting is now supported in Excel.
Okay, good.
And when you publish and refresh, that'll all be saved saved in the form. So it's fine to make any changes.
So you basically you have also the option to format by color if based on state.
Example. Format by color, any kind of conditional formatting, it'll all be preserved.
So it's much better now. So even in case I'm going to add new tasks, I will be able to bring them in here in Excel and publish them back. Right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, good. This is good. Let's see, we have a couple of others. Do we have?
Yes, sure. So the capacity planning is really what lights up here.
Right.
Because once you've inputted the work, what you want to know is, do I have too much work in the sprint?
Right.
And then overall, and that's what this graph shows you here.
Right.
And then you also want to know for the individual members of my team, have I correctly allocated the work? Especially taking into consideration things like times team members may be in training or have other engagements. And so this allows you to get a quick view across the team so you can load balance the work. The idea is that then the sprint will execute smoothly.
So if you assign tasks in the breakdown to different people, you automatically see here on that new tab how they are allocated.
Yeah. And one of the advantages of the Excel model is that it's extremely customizable. So for instance, on stage today, we changed this by discipline. So as a user, maybe you want to view not by person, but by discipline, development, testing, and documentation. You can change this graph. It took us, I think, about 4 minutes to make the modification.
Okay, that's cool.
So it's nice because it's Excel. It's really accessible, and you can set it up.
But it's not disconnected, really. So everything you do here, you can publish it back to the TFS, and so the changes are being stored in the central repository.
That's correct.
Oh, that's cool. So with these workbooks, we give people a really agile way for their planning, doing what's needed. Not more.
That's right. It's I would call it
essential Scrum planning, the basics of what you need.
Okay, this is cool. Mm-hmm. So people who are today say, okay, project is too complex for me. It does not do the trick for me, for my work. We have now a much better solution on that.
Yeah, right? I think so.
So you mentioned already that we have user stories and we have broken them down to tasks, which is normal Scrum.
Yeah.
And from 2008, we know we had just one link possibilities. Let's talk about how what possibilities we have now to link work items together.
Sure.
And how we can visualize that and how it looks like.
Yeah, I think one of the really important things in development is to be able to trace work that's at the low level
right.
back to the business value at the high level. And to do that, you need hierarchy in the system so that you can create user stories which cascade into tasks.
Right.
Or in the CMMI template, it would be requirements that cascade into tasks.
Right.
And you also want to be able to do association of other items like tests and bugs because that gives you the end-to-end traceability
right.
so that you can then report on those relationships. And this is what you see here in 2010. We have full support for hierarchies.
Okay.
You see here requirements cascading
right.
into tasks.
Right.
It's possible to create tasks below. You
right.
can even create hierarchies of requirements, hierarchies of tasks.
And you can okay, you can have sub stories, for example. So in the agile way, you have sub stories. You can build that.
Yep.
This is cool. So it works with drag and drop.
Yeah.
I tried it out, so it's working, and then you can save it.
Yeah, yeah. One of my favorite features to demo is usually to take some tasks and then drag them down to another requirement, and then refresh the list in Excel and see it'll move, and then refresh the same list in Project, and it'll all adjust.
That's good.
Because everything's stored on the server as a single backend.
This is cool.
To any client.
So just one sidekick for the people who are using Project in the past.
Yeah.
We now really have implemented the round tripping, right?
Yeah, it's a very nice feature of 2010 because it will round trip not only the hierarchy information,
right.
but also predecessor successor links.
Right. Okay.
So the way to think about the 2010 release is it includes full support for all the types of links that you
right.
want to do. Now, for those of you who are very technical users, under the covers we support four different link types, directed graph, a network graph, relationship, and then the tree structure. So you can actually create your own custom link types
right.
to model your process. But in a process template like this, we show you an example instantiation. And it's very powerful to be able to create those relationships. In Project, as you pull it in now, you can model predecessor-successor relationships. And then all of that information is still stored back in CFS.
Yeah, sure.
Just cool, so you can reopen it later.
And this is good because it was a kind of pain point, right?
Yeah.
In the 2008.
Yeah. I think the important takeaway is that however you do your planning, whether it's in Excel or whether you prefer Project, either tool is fine because you always have the information stored on the backend server.
Yeah.
I think what's important about that is that everyone can collaborate on the same plan and you're not restricted in the tool choice.
Right.
We also support not only Office 12 but also Office 14, which is coming. There's some very nice new features in Excel and Project.
Cool.
So I think
we really leverage the new features we have in the new Office.
Yeah, I think so many users really like Office, the Excel and Project features. So our idea is to give them the opportunity to use the features that they like.
This is cool. So, I mean, you mentioned it already, you can build your own link types.
Mm-hmm.
So in case we have a bunch of it. So they are really directed links. Some you can create directed links or just related links.
Yeah.
But the important thing is that even more if we talk about processes, we have a good bunch of features that we can customize to your own needs, right?
Yeah.
So in every term.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the right way to think about it. Let's say you have a Scrum team. You can take the Scrum template, but if you're slightly different, you can modify the template very easily to meet your team's needs.
What I recognize very pretty heavily, we adopted really the Scrum terminology at some point. User stories, we're calling these user stories.
Yeah.
So in principle, you can run a Scrum process with our Agile template, right?
Absolutely. It was influenced by all the customer feedback we got where people were seeing a lot of benefit in Scrum. We're seeing a lot of benefit in Scrum. And what we wanted to do was provide a tool that would support people in their development process.
Right.
So it was the idea of making the tool work seamlessly for them so that it provides the data you need,
right.
but then you can continue to have the interactions, which are
right.
very important for a successful Scrum team.
This is cool.
Yep.
So the people have the freedom to choose if they want to have, for example, the Django Scrum template, or if they would like to use the Agile template here.
Yeah, right. That's correct. There's this Agile template out of the box. One of the advantages of the Contango template, which they will ship with 2010 version, they have a very nice task board. Yeah. So if you like that type of visualization of being able to drag user stories from, say, the started state to in-progress state, closed state, I think that can be very nice.
Yeah.
But really either is I think, a very good option for teams.
This is cool.
Yep.
So what we have we in addition? So we have added a couple of things. Agile workbooks for being more productive in the planning phase.
Yeah.
We have a new linking infrastructure, which we need for doing what good reporting at the end.
That's right.
Transparency.
Yep.
So let's have a look what we have done in the reporting space. So making projects transparent.
I think the reporting is probably really transformational for us. Because what's so valuable about Team Foundation Server is the insight it can provide you into your development process to understand exactly what's happening. And then to explore that data, to learn more about the situation. So what you're seeing here is a dashboard that ships in 2010, and you can see it tracks not only task burndown, which is very common for a Scrum team, but also metrics like task progress and user story progress. So for instance, for this team, you can see that although they're burning down on tasks, they're not closing stories.
Right.
And that's very interesting data because it tells you that if you only had one metric, you might think they're on track. But by looking at a combination of metrics, you can start to really identify any blockers in the process.
This is cool. Yeah.
So another thing that I think is really exceptional about this type of dashboard is it provides live access to Team Foundation Server with the web parts that are built in from Team Foundation
Web Access. So we incorporated now the formula, or it's still existing Team Web Access client into web parts.
That's correct.
So that you can build up your own dashboard, really.
Yeah,
So you can say, I want to have this report, I want to have been the functionality to add user stories or open issues or talk. This is open issue dialog here. So you can build your own with dashboards. It's a new concept, right?
Yeah, that's the idea, is that let's say you're looking at this information about user stories and you might want to drill in. You can have a query down here which will give you your iteration backlog or your open issues.
Right.
And you can drill in to understand at the root level what may be causing the problem. And these queries are just Team System web access, so they're completely customizable. And they're live to the server, so you can open them, edit them, save them back to the server, which is very nice. The other thing about the charts is that they're extremely customizable. And I think that's a very important part of the reporting story. Because you as your team, you can create transparency and awareness around the data that you think your team needs to be looking at every day. So the reports, they are just Excel, which means you can click on these and edit them in Excel. Now, almost everybody knows how to edit an Excel report. It's not complicated.
Yeah, that's good.
It only takes about 5 minutes to do. And so you can create a dashboard that looks just the way that you want, your colors and your information.
A good thing, what I've seen is here, you have been, you have the option to have your own dashboard. So everybody can have his own dashboard. You can customize your own dashboard to your needs. It's not just you have a team dashboard where everybody needs, someone said this is the way we have what would like to have it. No, you can in addition have your own dashboard, right?
I think so, yeah, you can have your own dashboard.
Yeah.
And you can even imagine that you can have a major team, and then the sub-teams beneath it can have their own dashboards. And then individual developers can track their work. So maybe as an individual developer, I'm only interested in bugs assigned to me and bugs assigned to my team.
So
I think it's valuable. I think another feature that I really like of 2010 is the ability to then create new reports to explore trends. So for instance, you can see here, if I look at my dashboard, it had the ability to create a new report in Excel.
Right.
So what I've done here is I've used a feature on the dashboard where you can click to create a new Excel report, and it automatically sets up the connection to the cube,
and
even pre-fills a couple of core fields like the team project hierarchy.
Right.
So I can then use the cube here, and I, in this case, wanted to just look at my bugs by area. I can just drag in the measures that I want from the cube. And I pretty quickly get a nice little graph that tells me it looks like most of my bugs are in the storefront.
Right.
And then it's possible for me to take this, and what I'd like to do is I'd like my whole team to look at this report every day.
Right.
So that the storefront guys say, oh my gosh, Christian, I have way too many bugs. So then I can take this and publish it
Publish it back.
The same dashboard.
This is cool. This is cool.
And
so it's pretty easy now to do it.
Yeah.
Ad hoc reports. There is another feature I've seen and played around myself. You have the possibility, for example, you have a to create reports out of the context of a work item query.
Yeah.
So if you drill in and say, okay, I would like to have all my open work items on a query with open work items, then you click on that, say, create Excel report, and then it will come up and ask you, do you want to have the different metrics you can have here? Like, for example, I would like to have all open work items by user, and all open work items by state, for example.
Yeah.
And then it asks me again, do I want in addition have a trend report on that?
Yeah.
Right. Which means, so I have now the current state.
Yeah.
Report and then give me the trend of the same metrics.
I think you're more excited about this feature than I am.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I think it's pretty
good. Because it's pretty useful to get this context and building it automatically, then you can go to the team's discussion, right?
It's also cool because it works so nicely in combination with the dashboard.
Right.
So now you have ad hoc reports that figure out the dashboard,
right.
Or you can just use your own queries to very quickly explore this data and then put it all up on this dashboard. So it's a very nice set of features in that they work well together.
Right.
So I
like it because it's simple to use.
Yeah.
And to make it much more efficient, and again, we change a bit in the underlying database, in the reporting database. What have we done here?
That's correct. There's multiple changes in the database. One is simplifications on the schema itself.
Right.
So, and I demoed that today. It's much easier now to understand the structure of
the
queue.
So picking the right dimensions.
That's right. You don't have to have a PhD in Cube to make the report anymore.
Okay.
But if you're not making Excel reports and instead you want to build reporting services reports, we have another enhancement, which is the ability to use SQL to write your reports.
Okay.
And previously you had to do it all in MDX using reporting services, which is, you know.
It has a learning curve.
Yeah, you know how to do it, but not everybody does.
Exactly.
So now we've made that relational warehouse public as well.
Right.
So new reports can be written in SQL, which a lot of people know.
Cool.
So you have all these options. If you really want to make very complex reports, MDX.
Right. MDX. Yeah.
If you want reports that are accessible over the web, but they're not quite as complex to construct, you can use the relational warehouse in SQL. And then for these types of reports, which I really hope people use for the majority of their reporting, Excel is just super quick. It's easy and integrated fabulously with SharePoint.
Right. So this is a good story. I think it makes it more useful at all, right? Because people have been blocked on writing MDX reports, right?
Yeah,
I want to have a new report. I need a dev to do it, right? So this is, and it took too long now.
Yep.
So I see a couple of good features.
Okay.
Right. I think there are a couple of good, really good arguments to look at the product, right?
Yeah, I'm very excited about 2010.
Right. Okay.
It is a huge release for us.
Cool.
And I'm really excited to have people try it, tell us what they think, and start thinking about what they want next.
So try it out. Beta 2 is available. And thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, bye.